Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. You can support us on a one-time basis, support.greatdetectives.net. Use the Zelle app and send to box13 at greatdetectives.net, or just use mail. Go to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 159, 13, Boise, Idaho, 83715. You can also become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. Just go to patreon.greatdetectives.net. Now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan. The original air date, April the 16th, 1950. And the title is Adventure in Zocazique.
You've heard Jack Benny, Amos and Andy, Bergen and McCarthy. Still waiting to entertain you on CBS are Rocky Jordan, Horace Hite, Dick Hames and Joe Stafford, our Miss Brooks, The Whistler, and Red Skelton.
Now, Del Monte Foods brings you a world of adventure with Rocky Jordan.
Well, Jordan, I see you have found a cool place under the ceiling fan.
Hi, Sam. And what brings the pride of the Cairo police force to the tambourine?
Need I have a reason?
No, of course not. Have a chair.
Thank you. Just for a moment. The Nile rises well.
Oh, that's interesting. What else is on your mind?
Oh, it is only that I have not seen you in many days. A strange calm seems to have settled over your life.
I'd say that's your good luck.
Perhaps. However, for one such as you who thrives on excitement and adventure, life must become a bit restive, shall we say?
Shall we? Oh, I hadn't noticed.
Oh, incidentally, your bartender, Chris, handles things quite capably here. Should you be away?
All right, Sam, what's it about?
I'm merely wondering if for once you would be interested in adventure only for adventure's sake.
What do you got in mind?
A great deal, Jordan. Now, about this prospective adventure, does it interest you?
It might. Why?
I thought it would. Come with me.
Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Yes, Del Monte, the best-liked brand of canned fruits and vegetables in the whole wide world. Takes you now to the Cafe Tambourine in Cairo, gateway to the ancient East, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against a backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's Rocky Jordan story, Adventure in Zocazique.
Desert heat had settled down like a tent over Cairo, and the big fan on my tambourine ceiling had been doing plenty of overtime, with me under it. That's when Captain Sam Sabai of the Cairo police had come in with a lot of talk about adventure for adventure's sake. He had me interested. We got in his limousine, and he switched back to the standard topic of conversation in Egypt, the flow of the Nile River, till he pulled up at the internal security building in the government center. Inside, he picked a door that said Baladi Bay. Sam introduced me to the chubby man behind the desk. We sat down, and the bey looked me over real carefully.
Well, Captain, this man is desert wise.
He is, Baladi Bey.
This man knows little fear.
Such is my observation.
Good. Mr. Jordan, what I am about to say is confidential. If you are interested, excellent. If not, that is your prerogative. But nothing is to be repeated after you leave here. You understand?
Only that much so far.
Very well. Our problem is one of robbery, not of money, sir, but of valuable medical supplies.
Somebody must be pretty sick.
Please realize, Mr. Jordan, while medicines such as penicillin are plentiful in your country, they are extremely rare throughout the Middle East and sorely needed.
Sure, I follow. Go on, Bloody Bay.
Repeatedly, shipments of the supplies have been raided and stolen after reaching Egypt. The loss already amounts to well over $10,000 in market value.
But worth a lot more on the black market.
As you say, they could bring 5 times, perhaps 10 times, their original price. Now, we do not know who is involved, but we have a feeling that the center of operations is... I will show you here on the world map. The little town of Zakazik, located here, north and east on the delta, at important crossroads. The stolen supplies are probably hidden somewhere near there.
All right, let's get right to the point, Baladi Bey.
Very well. An American en route to Zakazik has just been arrested by our customs officials. His name is Harry Evans.
Am I supposed to know him?
No. But we believe that he had made previous arrangements to purchase the black market supplies there. This is our chance to uncover the entire ring.
Yeah. I'm beginning to get it, but you tell me.
We want you, Mr. Jordan, to go to Zakazik in Mr. Evans' place.
Look, Baladi Bey, you got men to handle that kind of job?
Unfortunately, there is no time for us to get a regular police agent, an American, such as you. Mr. Evans is due to arrive in Zakazik early tomorrow morning.
All you want me to do is walk in and convince everybody that I'm Harry Evans, just like that, huh?
It is our opinion that they have never seen him in person. But even so, it will be a distinct risk on your part.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
The black market ring is well organized and dangerous. Make no mistake about that. But it must be uncovered and broken. Well, Mr. Jordan?
I'll think about it.
You must realize that an immediate decision is necessary. I will give you a short moment. Again, I repeat, it is entirely up to you.
Sam, what do you get me into?
If you wish to say no, Jordan...
How does a guy say no to a request like that? I can't, and you know it.
Is that your answer, then?
Well, it's not that simple, Sam. Anyhow, how would I make contact?
The sellers will undoubtedly approach you.
Supposing they do, what about the buying?
You will be supplied with $35,000 in American money, marked, of course, for later identification.
And what then? What if they ask how I'll get the stuff out?
Tell them you have a plane waiting nearby to fly the medicines into Arabia.
And what's my contact with you or Baladi Bay?
A water seller will be stationed for that purpose in front of the Suez Hotel where Mr. Evans has his reservation. I will be at the hotel in Sholem Mineral Springs, about 30 kilometers from Zakazik, ostensibly on vacation.
You've thought of everything, haven't you?
We hope so. Will you do what he asks then, Jordan?
All right, Sam. What other choice have I got? Baladi Bay came back in then at 2 minutes to the second. He briefed me for a while and then fixed me up with my new identification. After that, I went back to the tambourine and arranged with Chris to take over. I wondered if I'd ever see him or the tambourine again. And that night, I boarded the train for Zakazik. I was there early the next morning, and a taxi dropped me at the Suez Hotel. Right away, I knew how well Baladi Bay had set his plans.
Pure water from the bubbling springs of Sholam.
You get on the job early?
Always I remain here to serve in whatever way I am needed.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'll see you later.
As you wish, Effendi. Water! Finding water!
The water seller was playing his part well, and it was good to know I wasn't alone on the job. So I decided to check in.
Yes, we have your reservation, sir. The room is ready. If you will sign here, Mr. Evans.
Yeah, sure.
Boy here. Kindly show Mr. Evans to room 209.
At once. This way, Mr. Evans.
Well, all I could do was wait, and it wasn't easy. The water seller kept to his post outside. I moved from my room to the lobby, waiting for some move, but none came. I didn't like it. But I was in it now, and there was no getting out. That evening, I had some dinner in the hotel restaurant, sitting by the wall where I could keep an eye out. I was alone, except for a heavy-set Turk with a pretty Egyptian girl, eating silently across the room. Then after a while, a party of four came in. An American, the graying, successful type, complete with a cane, his talkative wife, and a couple of local boys wearing expensive tarbooshes. The woman kept looking my way, and I wondered what it meant. Suddenly, she got up and came directly to my table.
Oh, you poor, lonely man.
Do I impress you that way, lady?
Of course you do. You're an American, I can tell. All Americans get lonely when they're alone. I am Mrs. Bundy, and I insist that you join us at our table.
Well,
I won't take no for an answer. Whatever you have to do here, you can do at our table.
I think I get what you mean. All right, Miss Bundy.
Oh, now that's more like it, Mr. Oh, dear, silly of me. I didn't even get your name.
Evans. Harry Evans.
Harry Evans. What a nice name. I am Mrs. Bundy. I told you that, didn't
I? Well, 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 my dear.
No. Don't anybody get up. Jeffrey, darling, I want you to meet Mr. Evans.
How do you do, Mr. Evans?
Fine, thank you, Mr. Bundy.
And this is Achman Bay, mayor of Zakazik, and Kemal Bay, agricultural supervisor for this district.
How do you do, gentlemen?
Now, let's all of us sit down and enjoy ourselves.
Well, it's great to see a fellow American again, Mr. Evans. Just passing through, I presume.
Well, as a matter of fact...
No. Everybody keep quiet while Mr. Evans tells us all about New York. You'll do that, won't you, Mr. Evans?
Well, I'll tell you what I can. It's been quite a while.
Oh, dear, I miss New York so much. Egypt isn't the same. Cotton, nothing but
cotton. Yes, cotton, Mr. Evans. Cotton. Long staple. Fairly profitable, I might say. What is your line?
Well, right at the moment, Mr. Bundy.
Business. You men can talk about that tonight.
Tonight?
Oh, didn't I tell you about the party at our house? Just a few friends. Kemal Bay and Achman Bay are coming. Aren't you, dears? Oh, of course you are.
Join us by all means, Mr. Evans.
Yes.
9 o'clock sharp.
Well, I'll make it if I can. Now, if you'll all excuse me.
Of course, dear boy, run along. But remember, tonight you can tell us more about New York.
I decided this wasn't the contact, not in that kind of company. So I waited some more, just long enough to get through the lobby, up the stairs, and down the hall to my room.
Come in, Evans. Shut the door.
It was the heavy-set Turk I'd spotted down in the restaurant. The girl wasn't with him now, but a squirrel-eyed guy who played with knives was. He put his back to the door as I went in.
Just to ensure a quiet talk, Evans.
Is your friend talk, too?
Yes, as you can see, he has a very sharp tongue.
Now, we don't need any rough stuff. Let's get on with it.
Get on with what?
You came here, you name it.
I always like to make sure. First, we will look at your credentials. Do not bother. I will find your pockets.
Well?
You could be, Evan.
Supposing we get acquainted all around.
You may call me Gino.
That's as good a name as any.
You have the money?
$35,000.
Where is it?
In the hotel safe.
All right. Get it changed into Egyptian pounds.
Why? American dollars are
better. I said get it changed to pounds.
Okay, Gino. Right away.
Wait, Evans. Let us say that I deliver certain merchandise. How do you get it out?
There's a plane waiting to fly it into Arabia. That satisfy you?
Perhaps. How and when did you arrive in Egypt?
TWA, from Rome to Cairo, yesterday afternoon.
At exactly what time?
3:15.
We will check. Komarkab.
So what happens now? Somebody else have to give the okay?
Just have the money. We will contact you when we are sure and when we are ready.
They were playing it very carefully. I'd expected that, but Gino had thrown me a real problem, that of changing the money. The marked dollars Bilardi Bay had given me wouldn't be worth anything now. I had to get the word to Sam. The water cellar was my pipeline, so after a little waiting, I went down and out front. The night street was all but deserted. Even the water cellar was gone. I moved up the street trying to spot him, till a ragged native came running out of a nearby alley.
Help, Effendi, sir! Come quickly!
What is it? Tell me.
There, in the alley, sir. A most wretched man has fallen by the knife. Hurry! Help, everybody!
I made it fast into the alley, somehow knowing just who I'd find. And when I reached the huddled heap by the wall, I knew I was right. He was the little water seller, and I wasn't any too soon.
Effendi Jordan, it is good that you have come.
Now, don't try to talk. Here, let me help you.
No, quickly. Take this key.
Tell me, who did it?
The key. Take it and go before you are seen here. Go.
He was beyond any help. I knew now I was in it up to my ears. With the death of the water seller, my one contact with Sam Sabaya was gone.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan.
Out here in the West, you folks are so used to getting big, plump tomatoes, so ripe and good, it's only to be expected that you'd want your tomato juice to have that same kind of rich flavor and fine, refreshing tang.
That must be why Del Monte tomato juice is so popular with us Westerners, Larry. It has such a fresh, natural taste.
Yes, it only takes one good taste of Del Monte tomato juice to tell you it's really something out of the ordinary. Del Monte chooses only the juiciest and most delicious of vine-ripened tomatoes. That goes without saying. And the secret of that amazingly fresh taste is close quality control. Quality control no one without Del Monte's experience and facilities could even hope to match. But don't take my word for it. Try Del Monte tomato juice yourself.
Well, all I know is it certainly doesn't take any coaxing to get the family to drink big glasses of tomato juice when it's Del Monte.
You'll be drinking more of this healthful juice, and you'll enjoy it more, too, once you start buying Del Monte tomato juice. So stock up with plenty. You'll need it. And now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, Adventure in Zakazik.
They called me Harry Evans in Zakazik, but now I wondered if the wrong people knew who I really was. The water cellar had made a fatal slip, and maybe I was next. Back in my room at the hotel, I had a look at the key the water cellar had placed in my hand. It had a big drop-in-the-mailbox tag attached with the address of the Shola Mineral Springs Hotel, where Sam Sabaya was staying nearby. I kept fiddling with it, wondering what it meant, till all at once the big tag snapped open. It was empty, but I realized it had been the water cellar's safe way of getting word to Sam. I wrote a quick note to Sam telling him his water cellar was dead and to get me a new contact, that I'd been approached by a Turk named Gino, and about the problem of exchanging the dollars I had for Egyptian pound notes. Now my problem was getting the key into the mailbox without being seen. And when I reached the lobby, I saw it wouldn't be easy. Gino and his sidekick were there watching. So I moved into the cocktail lounge and carefully dropped the key on the floor near the bar. I was about to go.
A moment, Mr. Harry Evans.
I turned to see the Egyptian girl who'd been sitting in the restaurant with Gino earlier that evening.
Rhonda Hassan, do you not remember?
Gino wouldn't like you talking to strangers.
Oh, you've changed, have you not? Since I was married to you in Port Said 3 years ago.
Maybe we'd better sit down.
I think so, too. You may order a brandy for me.
Yeah, sure. Two brandies here.
Thank you, Harry.
You're welcome.
Oh, by the way, where is my former husband?
You might try missing persons.
Oh, you carry it off well, whoever you are. I think you and I will get on very nicely.
That all depends, doesn't it?
Ah, the brandy.
Oh, here you are. Now, keep the change.
I do not think I will tell Gino what I know.
If you know anything.
When I explain, you will see. It is necessary that I get out of Egypt very quickly. I want to go to your country, to America.
The police on your trail, too?
Oh, yes, but why is not important. I know you are not Harry Evans. I think you are with the police, who will do anything to uncover a ring which steals and sells rare medical supplies on the black market.
Well, I'm not a cop. I can't do anything.
You are wise to admit nothing. But I am sure that you can arrange with authorities to get me out of Egypt, in return for what I can tell them about the black market ring.
Look, did Gino send you in here?
Oh, yes. But he does not know what I am saying, which is true. Now do what I ask, and I will keep my mouth shut about you.
You can tell me something. Why is Gino taking his time about selling?
It is his way. He will toy with you for a day or two, observe your movements, and then approach you for the sale.
Yeah.
But your help for me had better come before that time.
Oh, Mr. Evans, there you are, you dear boy.
Miss Hassan, this is Mr. and Mrs. Bundy.
How do you do? You're coming to my party now, aren't you?
Please do, old boy. Just a quiet affair. We'd like to have you.
Bring the young lady along if you like.
Well, I'm afraid I won't be able to make it, Mrs. Bundy. Sorry.
Oh, don't apologize. We understand. Oh, Jeffrey, somebody dropped a key on the floor. Pick it up, why don't you?
Well, if you like, my dear.
Yes.
Here you are. It says the Sholem Springs Hotel. Return postage guaranteed. Is this yours, Mr. Evans?
Of course it isn't his, Jeffrey. Can't you see he's staying here? We can drop the key in the mailbox on our way out.
Very well, my dear. Come along. We'll see you later, Mr. Evans.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
And I will see you later, too, will I not, Mr. Evans?
I didn't answer. Rhonda finished her drink and went out, and I sat there trying to figure her. Maybe she was just Gino's way of toying with me. Maybe a lot more. Anyhow, Mrs. Bundy had taken care of my mailing problem. Then came more waiting. Just before bank closing time the next day, I decided to get the dollar bills changed for pounds, with Gino's squirrel-eyed friend hovering always in the background. But no word from Gino or Sam. A third day came, and it was getting monotonous, with a feeling everything was closing in, not just the heat now. In the evening, I went out on the street for a breath of air.
Ah, Effendi, the shoes hold the sand of the desert. For a little bakshish, I will shine them like silver.
Oh, not this time, Imshi.
Please, Effendi, for bakshish, I shine the shoes or serve in whatever way I am needed.
2 piastres. Make it quick.
As you say, sir.
You do something besides shine shoes?
Keep the eyes from my face, Mr. Jordan. I do not wish to suffer the fate of the poor water seller.
Forget the water seller. Where are you from?
From the springs of Sholam, sent by the good Captain Sabaya.
Did he get a message?
Yours, Mr. Jordan, sent in the hotel key.
Go on. What does he say?
To remain and wait. The plan is working well.
Tell him not to be too sure. How long do I wait?
It should not be long. When Gino decides, he will move fast.
It better be soon.
Ah, there, Effendi. The most beautiful shine. The piastres, please.
Yeah, here you are. Thanks.
Muta Shakir. When you want another shine, I will be close by.
I went back to the hotel, figuring I'd sit it out some more. But when I unlocked the door to my room, I didn't have to wait anymore.
We will move now, Mr. Evans.
You could have saved the time, Gino.
You have the money in pounds?
I've got it.
Then everything is ready.
Not till I see the supplies. All of them.
All right, then come. We will go.
Where to?
You will find out. Come now.
We went down. I picked up the money from the safety box. And then we were out on the street toward Gino's covered Jeep. I noticed the shoeshine fellow watching from a doorway. Not till we got to the car did I see that somebody else was there. Not Gino's helper, but the girl, Rhonda Hassan. She didn't look at me as I got in. Gino drove fast out of town, through miles of cotton fields, then over some barren sand dunes, till we came to a place that looked like the ruins of an ancient Roman fort, with one small building still intact.
Straight ahead, Evans.
Yeah, you picked a good hiding place. It's all in there, Gino?
Yes, everything. Go in.
Hold it, Gino.
I said go in!
Gino's foot on my back had sent me stumbling inside. I fell against a table and rolled to the floor as the door was slammed and locked. Then I saw by a dim light that something else had fallen to the floor. I picked it up. I'd seen it before. It was the hotel key that I thought had been mailed to Sam Sabaya. Just then, the blue-white light of a gasoline pressure lantern cut the gloom, and I knew I wasn't alone. There were two of them, Mr. and Mrs. Jeffrey Bundy. Jeffrey still had his cane.
Get up, Mr. Jordan. Get up.
Hurry, Mr. Jordan. We haven't much time.
Well, I bet I missed a great party.
It was a delightful affair. You would have enjoyed it.
You see, we were not sure of you then.
Not till you got a hold of this key.
Yes, very conveniently. It was nice of you to drop it just where we'd find it. The message inside told us everything we wanted to know.
So, the shoeshine man was your plant, too. Sabaya hadn't sent him at all.
Excellent, Mr. Jordan.
Is everything clear to you now?
Sure. Means you two are the big stuff. You've got quite a partnership.
A very efficient one, Mr. Jordan. How about the real Harry Evans? Where is he?
He was your boy, only the police have him now.
What has he told them? What do they know?
All about the hijacking of a lot of penicillin for the black market. And that Zaka Zeke's the pinpoint. He'll get the rest.
Enough of this.
Wait, just one more thing. Since coming to Zaka Zeke, have you been in touch with the police in any way?
After you had Gino get rid of the water cellar? It's something you'd like to know, isn't it?
It really doesn't matter, Mr. Jordan. Now?
Yes. Come, my dear. What happens here now isn't for the eyes of a delicate woman.
Oh, Jeffrey. You're so considerate. Gino, you may come in now. Goodbye, Mr. Jordan. ¶¶
just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story. When it comes right down to cases, are you absolutely sure you know just how good some foods can be? Now, you take corn, for instance. I really hate to think what you're missing if you haven't tried Del Monte corn.
So do I, Larry. Del Monte is the sweetest tasting corn. And I always say it's so tender you can hardly tell where the butter you put on it leaves off and the corn begins.
Yes, you'll find all the things you like about corn come extra good in Del Monte corn. It's remarkably sweet because Del Monte raises it for higher natural sugar content. Del Monte makes a point of specially thin-skinned kernels, too, so you'll get just about the tenderest eating that ever came off the cob. So I'll tell you what you do. Get yourself some Del Monte vacuum-packed golden whole kernel corn. Enjoy those bright, plump, butter-tender kernels piping hot. I think you'll say you've never had corn eating so good.
It's good and low price, too. And that's my idea of a real honest-to-goodness value.
Compare Del Monte with other brands of corn, friends. You can't beat it for flavor, tenderness, or dependability. It's distinctively good. Ask your grocer for Del Monte Golden Whole Kernel Corn. Back now to Rocky Jordan for the conclusion of tonight's story.
Mr. and Mrs. Jeffrey Bundy stepped to the heavy door that was unlocked and swung open. They went out as Gino came in, still followed by the girl, Rhonda. It seemed all in a day's work as Gino came toward me with a knife, Rhonda still behind him. And just as he was a step away from me, I saw Rhonda's arm come up fast. It held a gun that caught Gino hard over the ear.
He is quite harmless now, Mr. Jordan.
Yeah. Thanks, Rhonda. But why?
This will show you I'm on your side.
I didn't make any deal with you. I couldn't if I'd wanted to.
All I want is to be permitted to go safely out of Egypt. You can tell
him. I have no authority. Believe me, I can't promise anything.
But you can try. Oh, please, Mr. Jordan, it is my only chance. You must help me. I help you.
I know, Rhonda. Of course, I'll try.
Gino, what's going on in there?
Hurry up, Gino.
Mr. Jordan, I must answer then. First, take the gun.
Give it to me. But what about you, Rhonda?
In case you do not get away, I must be clear. I must protect myself. That is fair, is it not?
It's fair. Answer him now.
Mr. Bundy, come. He is getting away.
Gino, Rhonda, what is it?
The Bundys came running in. The missus first. She took one look at Gino on the floor, let out a scream, and fainted right on top of her. But Bundy did better. He swung his cane and knocked the gun from my hand. Another swung, bounced off my head. Next time I was ready, I grabbed hold of his wrist, flipped him over my head, and down on top of the other two. To make it three of a kind.
Pick up the gun, Mr. Jordan. It is still yours. And what now?
I'll stay here. Take the jeep back into Zakazik and call Sam Sabaya. Get him here as quick as you can.
Do you trust me that much?
I'll take that chance. Get going, Rhonda. Well, Sam and some of the boys showed up in record time. He sent a couple of them to pick up the phony shoeshine man and Gino's squirrel-eyed helper, and all of us rode back into Cairo. The medicine supplies were found in one of the Bundy cotton warehouses. So Bilotti Bey got back the penicillin, the others got the pen. Rhonda had a debt to pay, but she'd proved herself, and it looked like she'd soon get her freedom to America. For me? Well, I'm right back where I started, trying to find a cool spot under the tambourine fan.
For superb flavor, for dependable quality always, enjoy Del Monte fruits and vegetables. Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. By Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Rocky Jordan, written by Larry Roman and Gomer Cool, stars Jack Moyles in the title role with Jane Avello as Sam Sabaya, and is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arumpt. Remember, you have a date next week at the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. Same time, same station. And the story is The Big Gamble. Want to get tomorrow's dinner off to a brighter, better start? Serve Del Monte Fruit Cocktail. Five luscious, colorful fruits mixed in perfect flavor balance, all ready to serve. For easy first courses, salads, and desserts, too, keep Del Monte Fruit Cocktail handy. Larry Thor speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Well, what I liked about this, I thought it was an exciting episode, but I liked how they were honest about Rocky's motivation. Because sometimes, you know, they've had episodes where I'm like, why is Rocky involving himself in this? And here we get the motivation. It's not like amazing, but you can kind of see the thinking. Okay. He was offered this opportunity, and he's just kind of bored sitting around. So why not? Some people, you know, you just go 2 weeks between corpses or 3 weeks without being shot, and you're just ready to go off on an adventure for the heck of it. As long as we're clear on that, I'm good. And I enjoyed the episode. It was nice to have. I love it when Sam saves the day, but they did avoid it being monotonous by having a slightly different way for Rocky to get out of his final jam. All right, well, listener comments and feedback now. And we have a new review on Apple Podcast, this one from Savagery85. So Rocky Jordan is by far my favorite show on here. I've run into some Johnny Dollar and Boston Black episodes that say unable to play. Hopefully you can fix that. Other than that, this is an awesome podcast. You do a great job, Adam. Well, thank you for the comments. I will say I'm not aware of any particular Boston Blackie or Johnny Dollar episode that's not playing. I'm sorry you're having that difficulty. And I do know some people have had some random problems. You know, we've had some issues where episodes haven't been posted or wrong episodes going up, but it's actually been a good while since that's happened. So not sure what this particular issue is with these current episodes. So sorry you're having that difficulty. And generally reviews aren't the best way to make it known. If there's particular episodes, you know, let us know. Sometimes you just need to refresh your feed and re-download. But beyond that, I'm not certain what the issue might be. I received an email from Viv, and Viv had a couple of questions. I'm going to kind of paraphrase. The first related to copyright of the old-time radio programs, and they stated they did not live in the United States. And I guess, first in regards to copyrights, I'm not an expert on U.S. copyright law, and any explanation I have of copyright, it kind of is not meant as legal advice. It just explains the approach I take in determining what programs I'm going to play on the program. I'm not even an expert on U.S. copyright law in that regard. If you're from a foreign country, you really would want to research the copyright law or consult with an expert in copyright law in your own country. Because when it comes to foreign works, that there are treaties. Not every country is a signatory to them. And there were different times when the treaties were made and different laws pertaining to foreign works in terms of what copyright protection might exist. And you really would need to consult an expert in your own country because copyright is not something where it's the same for every single country. It does vary jurisdiction to jurisdiction. Now, the other thing that they asked is they pointed out that there are some, particularly on archive.org, when it comes to old-time radio programs, there are some people who will put licenses on recordings as public domain, and then other uploaders will put a license, like they'll upload a whole set of recordings, and they will put a license on it as for non-commercial use. And Viv was interested in sampling some old-time radio dialogue into a song. And I know there's actually, I don't know a ton about the music community, but I know there is some debate about sampling, its legality, and that is a whole issue that I won't address other than, you know, again, particularly since Viv isn't in the U.S., and to be honest, if Viv were in the U.S., I think the whole sampling debate's way beyond me. But that's not really what that particular license is meant to prevent. I think what you have to understand in terms of why that goes on there is that a lot of these old-time radio sets are put together by volunteers. They spend countless hours listening to the programs, developing logs, eliminating duplicates, and trying to create a general set that offers the best sound quality and also is accurate as they can get it. But they don't just stop there. These sets have supplementary material on them. They have created logs of radio programs. They have secured pictures. They've made custom-made cover art that you can print for the CDs. If you go ahead and you download them and you make a CD, you can put one of their custom-made bits of cover art on the CD so that it fits the series. They have information about the show's production and various research that was done. They may have obtained information from scholars on old-time radio and got their permission to include this in their set. And so oftentimes these volunteer groups have spent dozens and maybe hundreds of hours producing this, not only to include the radio programs, but all the supplementary material. And what happens is that CD sellers will take all of that material. And by CD sellers, I'm not talking about folks who sell full featured audio CDs. So I'm not talking about Radio Spirits or Radio Archives, nor am I talking about reputable MP3 CD sellers. Some sell very high quality stuff and it's from their own masters, etc. I'm talking mainly about folks who will sell programs on eBay. In fact, when I was first starting out and really kind of, I was so green, I bought a 2-DVD Johnny Dollar set off of eBay, and it contained all of the intros that they had individually recorded and all of the documentation that the volunteer researchers had put together. These people had just copied and went ahead and sold. Now, it was annoying because I actually could have gotten the entire set off of the internet myself. if I had known what I was doing, which this was early days and I didn't really. So that is really the sort of thing that concerns and bothers people, and that is why you get that sort of non-commercial license applied to those sort of sets. And I've never heard of anybody taking action, but it's just kind of their way of saying, okay, people are going to steal our work that we put all of this effort into and turn around and sell something and profit from something that they took no part in putting together. But that's not something we're giving them permission to do. So I hope that explains why you see those non-commercial licenses out there. Thanks you so much for the question. I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Russell. Russell has been one of our Patreon supporters since November 2016, currently supporting us at the Master Detective level of $15 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Russell. And that will actually be all. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie, and then next Wednesday, another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to Box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.